All right, Dan Bilzerian's with us a little bit longer. He's running for Congress out of the 6th District in Florida against Randy Fine, one of the nastiest globalist Zionists out there, big censors, you name it. When are you going to get a chance to debate this guy? Is he running from you? This has got to be his ultimate nightmare to have you running against him.
Yeah, so TMZ interviewed me, and it was a bit of a hit piece. They kept trying to pin me down on being an anti-Semite. And I got to give credit where credit's due. They interviewed him afterwards and absolutely roasted him. They really held his feet to the fire on a lot of the things that he said. And one of the questions they asked him is if he would debate me, and he said that he would not. So I would love to debate him. I'm happy to debate him, but I think that he would be very scared of that conversation because he's used to just telling his constituents whatever talking points he thinks that they want to hear, and he doesn't want to have real conversations.
Well, I mean, he is a cartoon character.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Well, he's going to have to. I mean, you're showing up pretty good in the polls. He's going to have to debate you, isn't he?
You know what? To be totally honest, I'm a little bit new to this politics stuff. I really only decided to do this last minute because of the war in Iran and how much I was just so against that. And the negative effects that were coming from that, and the fact that we could potentially, you know, not only be in World War III, but have our life as we know it stop because of this stupid war. And he was so supportive of that. And I looked at when the primaries were, and I had time to run a legitimate campaign. And so that was kind of the catalyst for this. So I'm not, to be totally honest, I'm not sure if he has to debate me or not. I hope he does. I would love to do that.
Well, in the old days, they would have, instead of two kingdoms fight, they would have the two champions fight. Would you challenge Randy Fine, though I know you're scared of him, he probably can't wipe his ass, weighs like 400 pounds, would you do a cage match, bare knuckle, with Randy Fine?
Any type of warfare against Randy Fine, I would be amenable to. Guns, no guns, fists, gloves, anything he wants.
So you're challenging him right now. Well, let's not do anything illegal. I think Vegas bare knuckle's legal, or maybe you guys could go to Thailand or something. You're saying... Though he is formidable, Hulk Hogan was scared of him, I'm told, or even Mike Tyson is. But you're saying you are ready and willing to take him on in a cage match.
100%.
Well, issue the challenge right now to Randy.
Yeah, to a debate, to a cage match, boxing match, anything that he would want to do, I am all for it.
You're not intimidated by Randy.
No, he is the antithesis of everything that I stand for. He is the problem in America, and he is the embodiment of Jewish supremacy. So I would fight him with everything I have.
I'm told he can squat 1,000 pounds and bench press 600.
Well, just standing up, he's probably squatting 500 pounds.
That's a joke. I'm joking. No, he can hardly walk.
No, I'm saying he has to squat 500 pounds to stand up. So.
I tell you what, since this is not fair, would you take on Chuck Schumer, Congressman Nadler, and Randy Fine, the three of them against you in the ring?
Oh, man, I don't know. Three against one. Hold on.
Come on, Dan. You're in good shape. None of them could walk.
Yeah, well.
let me just say this. I will take on Chuck Schumer, Netanyahu, Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, Randy Fine, Nadler, and Schumer, all seven or eight of them, no problem. Bare knuckles in the ring. I don't wish no violence against them, but I'm serious. For charity, I guarantee you, and I'm not even in the best shape, guaranteed I could take them all. Are you kidding? You couldn't take Schumer? Nadler can't even walk, and Fine. You're saying Dan Bilzerian can't take on those guys.
Oh, for sure. I just don't know if I fought all three of them or all eight of them at the same time, how that would be. But one at a time, happily, the entire list.
Most of them can't even walk.
This is kind of like that whole gorilla against 100 infants or 100 retarded guys or whatever. I guess this is one way to find out.
I would bet $10 million that you could beat all eight of those guys. Dude, all you got to do is get one punch in on each. They just splattered rotten diarrhea out their ass. We'll be right back with Dan Bilzerian.
If it would get me in a ring with Ben Shapiro and Netanyahu.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. Become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, canceling time. Stand with us. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and the Alex.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, we just found Dan Balzerian's kryptonite. He just joined us in some sense of the last segment. I said, in a cage match, legal, they'd agree, we're not threatening violence. In Vegas, bare knuckles, would you take on Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, Congressman Randy Fine, and Congressman Nadler for charity? He said, I don't know, all of them at once. Most of them can't even walk. Can't even walk. No, you're scared. Your kryptonite is Nadler. Put Nadler back on screen. Does this not intimidate you?
Oh, man. Yeah, now that I've seen it, but it's a little different story.
You're not intimidated by that guy?
No. Probably could take.
Let me tell you, a strong wind blows by, those guys fall down. Okay, look, that is not like you've trained with, like, you know, top Lance Armstrong, you name it. You're not intimidated by that?
Not after seeing him. I wasn't familiar with the man you were speaking about, but now after seeing him, I feel.
But you got caught up by the break. How about Ben Shapiro? Would you do a cage match with him?
Yeah, I would love to. I would absolutely love to.
Getting serious here. They're all going to say we threatened them. It's a joke, folks. Let's talk about Charlie Kirk, because day one he gets killed 9 months ago, September, and 8.5 months ago, and day one is Israel. And I just simply said, we don't know. But then we learned that he was coming out against Israel. He was getting threats. He said that, confirmed from my own crew. Oh, put Shapiro on screen. You're intimidated. Oh, look at that. So then I learned they were making all these threats to him. We got told by U.S. intelligence that indeed Israel was connected. That's what got killed with Joe Kent. He won't go all the way, but we knew that first. That's how Harrison Smith said he's where he's going to be killed about before he was killed. And I'm just going to stop him and ask not to give any more information. We had U.S. intelligence actually contact us. They couldn't get a hold of me, so they go track down Harrison, basically. I'm not tooting my horn. That's how busy I am. I just miss these calls. So now then, the FBI director kills the investigation 6 days after Charlie's killed. So people said, oh, you're apologizing for covering for Israel. No, I just wasn't going to say day one that. But now, with Netanyahu announcing an 8-front war a month after Charlie's killed, Netanyahu coming out 2 days after, I didn't kill Charlie, and just all this behavior, it really makes me ask serious questions, but definitely I don't buy the official story. Dan Balzerian, what do you really think happened with Charlie Kirk?
Well, I mean, yeah, the idea. So this is actually one of the reasons I got into it with Nick Fuentes. I called him out the other day because he said there was 0% chance that Charlie Kirk wasn't killed by Tyler Robinson and that it was low IQ anti-Semitism if you disagreed. And I thought that was an extremely crazy statement, given the evidence that we had. I mean, look, I've been shooting guns since I was like 5 years old, and I've shot a 30-06. I've dug those bullets out of trees. I've dug them out of animals. I know what they do. And that is it's a bonded, usually jacketed hollow point or a full metal jacket. But the whole premise of a hunting round is for that round to not frag out, because you don't want to be digging little pieces of bullet out of your meat. You also don't want to destroy too much meat. And so the idea that a bullet would stay inside of his body and you wouldn't be able to get ballistics off the back half of that 190 grain bullet is just absurd. And it also, I mean, you know, look, there is a chance that it could have hit his neck and ricocheted down. I think it's extremely unlikely that there wasn't a massive exit wound in the back. But that said, there's just a lot of very strange things. They paved over the crime site a few days later. You know, there's theories that it was the lapel mic that exploded and sent a piece of metal into his neck. And apparently a explosives factory that makes those mics was completely obliterated with a lot of the people still inside it. And what I've been told is that Joe Kent's plane flew over the top of that and descended 7,000 feet and reduced speed to around 150 miles an hour, which is very, very strange if you're not landing a plane. I mean, you know, I would always fly my plane at 41,000 feet. Some planes fly at 50,000 feet, but you never descend to 7,000 feet unless you're landing at a runway. It burns a ton of fuel. It's totally unnecessary, and you don't usually use jets to go sightseeing. So there's just been a lot of strange things with respect to this case. I'm not saying it was Israel. I'm just saying that they unequivocally have a strong motive to have wanted to kill Charlie Kirk if he is going to be abandoning the Israel cause, which is what he said he was going to do. He said, I'm going to be forced to abandon the Israel cause. And that would be a massive disaster for Israel because he was one of the last pillars standing, you know, for Republican Christians. And he was historically very supportive of Israel. So
sure. Well, I'm not an apologist for Nick Fuentes. He's on Thursday at 1 p.m. just like you joined us here today. But, you know, he grew up in Illinois, not a huge gun guy. And I think his thing is Tyler Robinson says he's confessed, and then you see the transgenders doing all this violence, including coming to his house. So that's what I thought up front, too. There's all this transgender stuff. I'm like, well, you know, you had all these transgenders the week before saying he'll be dead when he comes to Utah. And so that's why I was kind of like, hey, let's at least look at this. But now you look at, you know, the way Israel's been behaving, the cover-up of the whole case, all the rest of it. I mean, I don't think TPUSA is heavily involved, like some have said. But here's what I know. The vast majority of the public that I talk to, liberal, conservative, you name it, they believe Charlie Kirk was killed by Israel. So Israel's just understand that's where you are with the American people, that the majority of people don't believe a damn thing you say.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about the first thing that Israel said, right? Is like, oh, we didn't kill him. Like, that's a very strange first thing for a country to say. And if you look at one of the most important things to him was us not going to war with Iran. In fact, he talked to Trump about this on numerous occasions, that he was extremely against the possibility of a war in Iran. And so if he was potentially going to turn on Israel, if he was adamantly...
Well, he was already doing it. And let me be clear, I didn't think about this until after he was dead. He called me during Midnight Hammer and said, great job, keep it up. That's insane. You know, these forces here, Israel wants us to go to full war. It'll derail everything. Please keep it up. And Kirk didn't call me a lot. I mean, he called me like once a year. But he called me twice. Then he calls up and says, great job on Epstein. Keep the heat on. We've got to expose this. Keep it up. You've got a lot of support in the White House. So and later we have emails and text messages. He was calling other popular hosts saying the same thing. So he was really... had a lot of integrity. He was saying, man, all the cliches about the Israel lobby are true. They're threatening me. You know, all the rest of this, I'm really concerned. And text messages have come out. He's like, God, I hope they don't, you know, I hope I don't die soon. He was worried about dying that day. So, yeah.
Yeah, he said, that his donors were, you know, fulfilling all the stereotypes. He talked about how, you know, it was primarily Jews funding the NGOs that are pushing open borders. You know, he was talking about decoupling with Israel. I mean, he made a lot of statements. And the thing is, if you're going to kill the guy, you have to kill him before he comes out and is openly against Israel. The moment he's openly against Israel, you actually can't do anything because it looks so bad.
He was reportedly days from that.
Yeah, and I find the timing very strange because apparently what I was told is that wasn't a scheduled TPUSA event. That was a last minute thing. Apparently his security detail was all brand new. And I look at Erica Kirk's behavior after this, and you know, the least she could do is honor his, you know, his wishes, right? Like, you know, she has come out and supported the war of Iran, which is totally against Charlie's beliefs. And you know, and then she's talking about hat sales like a week later, jumping up and down, all excited about that. You know, she seems like she can't wait to get on a stage. It just does not feel in any way, shape, or form to me like a grieving widow. So I'm very suspicious of this. Candace has been doing a full deep dive on it. She's 100% convinced that there's something weird going on. And as far as Tyler confessing, that's what I was told too. But then, you know, later I was told that he did not confess and that he's pleading innocent. So hopefully he's not killed before the trial, because I'm very curious of what his defense
is. I was about to say,
be.
I talked to a reporter off record, another one on record, Elizabeth Lane and one other, they've talked to 7 members of the family, the dad, the mom, the grandpa, all of them. They say none of it's true. It's all lies. He didn't do it. It's a setup. He didn't confess. And part of the tape's been released. Candace got it. But I talked to people involved. They said it's more the family's scared. And so, again, I broke the news. Everybody got mad at me with the Candace thing. They don't have 12 colonels in a base the day before with her planning to kill it. The guy randomly goes in. I think that was planted disinfo on her to discredit the real stuff she was doing. I just got mad about that, said that. Everybody got mad at me saying I was covering up and just saying this isn't how it works. But I was told by folks in the cabinet meeting, and I said, why am I being given this? They said, you're willing to do it. We're scared. They'll know it's us. And so I came out 6 days after. It was like 8 days after, 2 days after the meeting. So 8 days after, 6 days after, they have a meeting, and Cash Patel's screaming at the vice president. The president's in there, Susie Wiles, Joe Kent, a whole bunch of them. And they're like, you're not going to investigate, he says to Tulsi Gabbard, foreign involvement, you're going to shut that investigation down, and we're not going to look at the tranny saying he'll be dead. And then 6 months later, it came out what I said was true. Obviously, it was true. So I've never been sitting here, you know, covering up the cover-up. I just wanted to go with what was real. Here's Sammy Yobib, I think you say his name, very popular comic. This is the type of stuff that's mainstream now. So Israel needs to know. Taking me out or Dan Bilzerian or any or Tucker Carlson, that's not going to work because the toothpaste is out of the tube. The genie's left the bottle. Here it is.
Iran made a video about Charlie Kirk. I didn't even know that was in their wheelhouse. It was literally a video. You have this Iranian general just sitting in a chair with his face blurred. He's speaking in English, which means it's to me, okay? But he has an Iranian accent. I know it's an Iranian accent because I lived in LA for 10 years. He's like, let me tell you about a Charlie Kirk. I'm like, what do you got for me, general? And he's like, did you know Charlie Kirk was killed by your government? I was like, yes, I did know that. I did, actually. He's like, well, while we were hacking Cash Patel for funsies, we got into your FBI's mainframe, no big deal. Apparently the password's Valhalla123. And we found documents that reveal that your government plotted the murder of Charlie Kirk, and it didn't go according to plan.
What?
Our government botched an assassination attempt? We would never. He says, well, did you know Charlie Kirk was not killed by a bullet? He was killed by an explosive device planted into his microphone that was clipped to his shirt. I know. Mind blown. Better choice of words? Sure. I'm sure a lot of people are asking, what? Who could even plant an explosive device in a small piece of technology and detonate it remotely? Who would do that? But it's a thing, and it is real. 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 And it's Israel. They did it with pagers in Lebanon. By the way, where did we get this? Trevor? Best Buy? What is it? Tel Aviv Tech? Okay. He said the device was supposed to explode downward into Charlie's chest cavity to make it seem like a clean gunshot wound to the chest. So we would all be like, oh my God, he was shot. And they'd thumbs up the fake Tyler on the roof. Be like, good job, buddy. We'll see you in Valhalla. But it didn't go according to plan because the device misfired.
Like, where have I heard that before?
And a piece of shrapnel shot through Charlie's neck and it came out the place that we were supposed to see the bullet going in. Now, this was the part that he said that blew... Okay. This was the part, he said, that really opened my eyes. He said, because it misfired and because it exploded in all sorts of which ways, a bunch of pieces of shrapnel flew everywhere and a lot of them went down and lodged themselves deep into the concrete where Charlie Kirk was speaking. And this is why, the next day, a bunch of people came to repave the entire area. So Charlie Kirk is shot, and the next morning, a bunch of random guys from God knows where in Israel come and start repaving the entire asphalt. It's like, you could have chose a better time to do that. This is literally the weirdest, most eerie part of the Charlie Kirk case, aside from Erica. It is the second strangest part about the case. Like, if you were watching a crime drama like CSI Orem and somebody gets shot and then, like, moments later, like, oh, nothing to see here. We're just start repaving the whole area. That would be like a 10-part series where they're trying to figure out, like, who the f*** are these contractors? And so then the Iranian general was like, and this is how you know that it was your government who killed Charlie Kirk. Like and subscribe to my page. Hit the bell. I was like, do you have Lego content? The Iranian intelligence, they understand the American mind because they know that Charlie Kirk is a very sensitive issue in the United States. They understand that even better than I did. Because after Charlie Kirk was shot, I honestly didn't even know that much about him. I was like, oh my God, that's horrible. But I still did a stand-up routine because that's what I do. I would do it to any of you. Don't take it personally. I posted it on YouTube and YouTube took it down instantly. That's never happened to me in the history of my whole career. And you've seen some of the things I talk about. That's how many people flagged it saying no. They were upset. They were very sensitive about it. I didn't know you can't make jokes the same day. All right, that was f***ed up on my part. That was f***ed up on my part. I should have at least waited for the cement to dry.
Well, that's Sammy Obeid. In closing, Dan, this is the biggest sensation ever, and Israel just keeps playing the part, and even Netanyahu says, yeah, we're losing the propaganda war, so he's just going to spend $760 million propagandizing us, which should be illegal. What should be done about AIPAC, the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center? You know, I broke documents decades ago from our sources that the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, run all the major white supremacy groups and organizations. And I mean, so what should be done about this?
Well, I mean, that's what we have FARA for, right? Like, that's the whole point of registering foreign lobbies and making sure that there's not foreign influence in our government. We've done it for every other country. I just don't understand why we have this exception, you know, for Israel, because Trump has literally admitted to, you know, taking all this money from Miriam Adelson and from Sheldon Adelson, coming to his office and literally talking and lobbying on behalf of a foreign country. Like, I just don't know how that's allowed. I certainly know that I'm not allowed to, you know, take a bunch of money from the Middle East or from, you know, some Arab country or whatever to influence my campaign. So I just don't understand why guys like Randy Fine can take a bunch of money from AIPAC. And you look at the guy running against Thomas Massie, one of the last few patriots in office in our country, and they're putting in tens of millions of dollars against him. Trump showed up in his district to campaign against him. I mean, that's a pretty good litmus test. When the president of the United States comes to lobby against the one guy pretty much single-handedly responsible for releasing the Epstein files that has been, you know, really just uncorrupted. I mean, that just kind of tells you the state of affairs that we're in right now is, you know, I just don't understand how the president can justify, you know, flying in to, you know, lobby for some candidate that he has shooed in to get rid of the guy that's, you know, kind of holding their feet to the fire on the Epstein files. I mean, that's,
and for those
crazy
that don't know, Massie showed all the documents. I was aware of, I knew it was true, but when he said it, I don't just believe him, but they'd have a bill with all this horrible stuff in it. And it would be banning transgenders, but he knew they'd just take it back out in the House. So then when the bill came back, he put the provision in to ban the transgender stuff in schools, and the Republicans kept it in and passed it. Then they run ads saying he supports transgenders in schools. It's all lies and tens of millions of dollars by the Israel lobby bragging to stop him, all because he did the right thing. We need to rally behind people like Congressman Massie. So I'm glad you clarified from the clip I saw that you're not saying exterminate everybody in Israel. You mean you want to get rid of the state of Israel, but again, they have nuclear weapons. How would that happen, and are you serious? Because, you know, if you want to join the military, I have a sneaking suspicion Iran would let you go over there and join their military. I mean, you're not serious about that, are you?
Well, what I was saying is that Israel is the only country that I've ever seen that I legitimately think that we should be at war with. You know, I look back at the last 100 years of all the wars that we fought, and I don't think there is a war that I would be more excited about fighting in than against Israel. In fact, it's the only one that I can think of that I would actually be excited about fighting in, because they are attacking everybody around them. They're stealing land. They're breaking UN resolutions. They've illegally acquired nuclear weapons. They're terrorizing people. They're a, you know, ethnocentric apartheid state. Like, I just can't imagine a better place to go to war with. I mean, I would actually feel good about that. I wouldn't have felt good about Iraq. I wouldn't have felt good about, you know, Vietnam. I wouldn't have felt good about Afghanistan or any of these other places, but I would feel really good about going to war with Israel. And I'm not saying that that's the answer. I'm just saying that of all the places that we somehow find ourselves in war, you know, that would be the one that would be justified.
The good news is every former intelligence chief in Israel has come out against Netanyahu and said, stop this. The IDF said the Mossad Netanyahu lied about Iran will fall in 4 days. Even the IDF said, Trump, don't do it. So I'm not trying to, like, lionize Israel, but I don't think it's one totally monolithic situation. I think Netanyahu over 25 years has gotten full control, and I think really just level-headedly talking about these issues, and you know, Trump wants to pardon Netanyahu. He's pressuring the government over there. I think you're right. I mean, clearly they've got Epstein stuff on him or his associates, and that's why this is – that's why this is happening. But I got to tell you, I know you're a smart guy. I guess the clips I see, I mean, I've known you, I haven't known you, but followed you for years. Some clips seem really smart. Some seem dumb. I know sometimes you're joking around. But you're a smart guy, talking to you here for the last hour and a half. I know Fine is scared to debate you. But if you find out where he's having town halls or where he's, you know, at a public event, man, it's going to be pay-per-view. You've got to go to these events. Because that is going to be just spectacularly viral.
That's not a bad idea, actually, ambushing him. I hadn't thought of that, but it's a good idea. And to touch on one last thing, you know, I think that Netanyahu gets scapegoated a lot, but you look at guys in his cabinet, like Ben-Gvir is actually way more radical than Netanyahu is. And you look at the previous prime ministers like Ariel Sharon, Ben-Gurion. I mean, there's like so many of these people that are like literal terrorists that, you know, people just forget how long that country has been committing terrorist acts because everything is so focused on what's going on today. But I think it's a sick society. I'm not saying every person in Israel is bad.
Well, what happens is Yitzhak Rabin tried to have peace and they killed him. That's the reason it's sick.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Ariel Sharon and Netanyahu killed Yitzhak Rabin. Anybody that tries to get peace, they kill.
Yep. Yep. Correct. Yeah, well, so, and I think that, you know, a lot of the society supports it. So it's just, you know, like I said, to me, it's not every person there, but their government is bad. Their policies are bad. Their supremacist mindset is bad. Apartheid is bad. Terrorist acts are bad. Attacking the neighbors, you know, sabotaging our peace talks, sabotaging our treaties, and forcing us into wars is just, you know, to me, inexcusable.
Well, even for the pro-Israel crowd out there, and I don't want to destroy Israel. I want to fix this because they'll destroy us. We've tried that. Or they'll take us down with them, a Samson option. But even if I could hit a button and send them all to Mars, I wouldn't do it. I want to reform this. You have to understand that at the end of the day, this is only getting worse for Israel. And it doesn't matter. You can see this is impossible. Where this is going, the more Israel doubles down, the worse it gets. And so somehow Israel's got to get its act together and stop this.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
All right. So you're back on the campaign trail today in Florida.
Yep. Yep. I stopped it to come in and have a chat with you.
What are the numbers showing?
We haven't gotten official polling numbers yet. I mean, I've looked at some of the different betting sites and it's been from the mid 30s to, you know, 20% versus Randy. He's obviously the incumbent, so he's going to be a favorite. But we haven't really, you know, got the boots on the ground yet. This is the first time that, you know, we've really kind of started the campaign. Like I said, I started this last minute. It was one of those things that I just really didn't want to do, but I felt like somebody needed to do it. And most of the people in government are focused on what's best for themselves. We need people in government that's going to do what's best for the country.
Well, if you want to get issues out there, you're definitely winning that way. When's the primary?
It is August 16th.
Well, that's a long time. So
yeah, we got some runway.
Well, I would advise you to have plenty of security and cameras, but follow Randy Fine around and make like a live stream documentary out of it. And that's how you literally will sap all of his attempts because he's scared. So
I'm going to send you a video when I find him.
Well, it would be nice to him too. But I'm saying, just bring up the topics, bring up his quotes to him. But I'm telling you, if you start shadowing him to quote, ask him questions, he's going to disintegrate. He's absolutely disintegrate.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best way to force the debate.
And I've seen him walk. I'm not being mean. He weighs probably 500 pounds. So if you get him in a parking lot or something, he's going to literally not be able to, you know, he'll, God forbid he has a heart attack. So we don't want that. But the point is, you just trust me. All right, Dan, Bilzerian, I keep saying Brazilian. It's not a Brazilian wax job here. Bilzerian for Congress.com. Well, I thought it'd be a meaner discussion, but it was a good discussion. And I appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Sounds good. Good chatting with you.
All right, we'll be back with the rest of the news. Then the War Room with Harrison Smith coming up 3 p.m. Central. Share those live feeds now. We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds, he says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard. the people that do it all and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally This is, it's, so you literally have, so remember what I said? This is like a dev video. It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
Just heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee. And it even could be contributing to shrinking pee sizes. I am talking about micro becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity. Who's...
So, regardless of what the globalists do, nothing they do is going to work anymore. There's no trust in the big pharma, the globalists, any of it. My issue with Israel is they're definitely making a run at control of the U.S. and global domination. But if you only focus on Israel, you got a big problem. There are so many other big factions, and above that, what's left of the British Empire, allied with communist China. A very telling clip I'm going to play again of Netanyahu, clip 44 on 60 Minutes. Oh, yeah, China's giving him the missiles and the fuel, but that's okay. He won't criticize China. But he'll have his surrogates come out and call me an Iranian Qatari agent for saying the war is a disaster and that Israel is sucking us into it. I'm a traitor for saying that. I'm a bad person. And all these talk show hosts on the Israeli payroll publicly, like Salem Radio and all of it, they had to point their finger at me with no evidence to call me a foreign agent and defame me while they're opening on the payroll of a foreign government. Meanwhile, Trump's set in the next few days to go to China. Elon Musk is going with him. This is a big deal. We'll cover that in a moment, but here's Netanyahu.
China gave a certain amount of support on particular components of missile manufacturing. But I can't say more than that.
Does that disturb you?
Well, I didn't like it, but I think that if China weighs its interests, does it really want to have Iran controlling the waterways to supply the energy that China needs? Would it not prefer to have open waterways that are not subjected to this kind of violent blackmail? Not everything is a zero-sum game. If you think about it, I'm talking about the brilliant future of AI, but there's dangers in AI, a lot of dangers. It's not just a simple proposition. So you have to advance the benefits and contain the dangers. Would it not make sense, and I'm sure it will, for President Trump and President Xi in their upcoming meeting to talk about advancing humanity's benefits out of AI, but jointly controlling the dangers that could be quite frightening? So, it's not everything is a zero-sum game, and I don't think everything is a zero-sum game when it comes to Iran. Do you really want to have a fanatic regime with nuclear weapons that is committed to Islamist revolutions? That's what Iran's constitution says. We're committed to export the Islamist
China
revolution.
Should we
so
consider,
China, I think, should think about...
Because it's apparently doing it right now.
Could be. I don't want to speak for China. I don't want to speak also...
But you have eyes
President,
and ears on this.
Yeah, well, but I also have a closed mouth when necessary.
Israel founded Hamas. Netanyahu was their big backer. The majority of terrorism has been funded by the U.S., Israel, England, and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, in the last really 8 years under Trump's orders, backed off of it and arrested up to a third of the princes who were doing it. And they've stopped. Not defending Saudi Arabia. I just study this stuff. I mean, I study a lot. Israel has accelerated this crap with Turkey. And then Saudi Arabia is still back, putting the head of Al-Qaeda, global head, in charge of Syria right before Trump got back in office. So don't lecture me about radical Islam all day, Netanyahu. You love it. And I get constant comments online, even on no-go. Well, wait a minute. You're bad at Israel. Why are you against Islam? Okay, folks, I talk about this all the time because it pisses me off. Folks, you're smart. I know most of you get this, but my God, people that don't, how did your mother drop you on your head 150 times? She threw you off a balcony 10 stories down. If I'm pissed off about Israel running our foreign policy and doing all this stuff and getting us into these failed wars, I can also not like expansion of Islam. It's two separate deals. It'd be like if you had the Crips and the Bloods and you're in, South Central L.A. in the 90s and they're all killing each other and you're just a shopkeeper and the Crips and the Bloods come in and deal drugs on your street and shoot at each other and your store gets robbed, people don't come in and say, well, why aren't you for the Crips or the Bloods? Why are you against both? What? Because I'm a shopkeeper, or I got a shoe store, or I got a gas station. I'm not a Crip. I'm not a Blood. And I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Meanwhile, China is the big issue. Set up by the globalists, jacked into all our computers, was beating our ass in the financial game and bragging that we were done. China advertises we're done. It shows all the demographics, the crime, the left they fund, all of it. And then Trump came in and slowed them down 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and now is really kicking their ass. Now the Strait of Hormuz thing hurts them on oil, but because of where we're at in insolvency, it hurts us a lot more. And supercharges, BRICS, all the rest of it. And Trump's seeing that now and trying to get out of it. And then the people obsessed with Israel. A lot of them are actually on the Israel payroll to make it all look stupid. You talk about any other issue because all they know about is Israel. They get pissed off and say, why are you coming for Israel? That's even more retarded than thinking if you're against what Israel's doing, you got to be pro-Islam. To say, oh, you know about other topics. Because literally, folks, there are going to be giant wildfires in Russia, and I cover it, and the comments, half of them are like, why come for Israel? Or I can talk about, oh, this asteroid's coming by Earth. Why come for Israel? It's the only issue you know. And that's what I'm going to tell Israel and the Israel lobby. You understand there's a fourth turning. You understand there's a global awakening. This happens cyclically. This is the big one, the biggest in 1,000 years. All the sociologists, futurists predicted it. It's here. There's no doubt it was correct. The fourth turning, you know, all of it was accurate. Israel, by inserting themselves at this point, because they know it's a change time, going for total control, has now made itself the image of the establishment, the image of the bad guys. When you're just, your leadership is one vein of the bad guys, which we oppose. You can have 10 bank robbers, I'm against them all. It doesn't make one more guilty or one less guilty. And so now, the hottest thing, and it only gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, is Israel is behind everything evil in the world, which I don't think is true, but behind a lot and definitely going for control. And then the more Israel gets pissed off and digs its heels in to try to intimidate and censor people, the worse it does. I mean, obviously Israel's not dumb. The leadership of Israel knows this. The Jews are just like the average person. They're under their government's control. They're believing the propaganda. As they see things get darker, they're just going to get more support to their cult leaders. And then it's just going to get worse. You know, it's a great analogy. See if you guys can pull it up. Type in... I remember the names. I haven't seen First Flood in like 10 years. What a great movie written by... Sylvester Stallone. I think First Blood, just for the writing, is probably his best movie. He wrote Rocky, too. As a writer and a producer, he's even way better than he is an actor. He's a great actor, too, but he's a patriot, too. What was it? I would type into YouTube, Colonel Trockman, I Made Rambo. It's probably like a 4 or 5 minute scene, and they got this manhunt going for him after they attacked him and all this, and he comes in, and he says, I'm not here to save Rambo from you. I'm here to save you from Rambo. And he says, I suggest you just let him go. Defuse the situation. Pick him up in a couple of weeks in another town. And it's the same thing with Israel. The more Israel fights this, you saw that, you know, God, we're losing the war. Yeah, you're losing the info war, bro. And some will say, what are you trying to advise Israel? That's good. Don't interrupt your enemy. They're not my enemy. That's a mind game. I don't want to be Israel's enemy. I don't want to be Islam's enemy. I want to reform these things. If you're really smart, the only way to win the war is not have it. Like war games in the 80s. What a strange game. The only way to win is not to play. We have to stop doing this. It's not like I'm the only one saying this. You read the Rand Corporation, the Pentagon, they all agree with me. Not they agree with me. I already did my own research. I read them all. Yep. But what the Pentagon writes internally that they put on policy reports, you don't see on the news. You see admirals and generals who are on the Fox News payroll not telling you they're on the payroll. They're admitted contributors on the site, but they don't tell you that. to tell you a load of crap. And the problem is you got a bunch of Adelsons and blackmailed royalty and people that think they can win this war. They'll tell you, I don't know how the world works, but I believe in our Marines. What the hell does that mean? You guys find that clip I want? I bet I can find it for you. Watch this. I just have always good at headlines, even though I haven't watched it probably in 10 years. I bet you money I can pull up the clip I want right now. Hell, just type this in. Colonel Trockman Rambo. No, that's not. It's First Blood, sorry. Oh, that's probably straight to Rambo. Colonel Trockman First Blood. Okay, boom. Top link. Stand by.
This is tender, juicy, slow-smoked barbecue from Arby's.
Got an Arby's ad going on right now. 2 million views or you don't pay. By the way, they are not a sponsor. I'm glad something else didn't pop on up there. So, let's go ahead and roll this. We're back it up here. Back it up. Back. No, I want to control. I'll do it. I want, you know what I'm going to get? I used to have this 20 years ago. I'm going to get a crew's great. I'm going to get a computer in here, and it's going to be me. Put it up on screen again. Yeah, hit play here. Go ahead and play it. Good. You're doing a great job pulling us up so fast.
How bad is the situation? Captain, we need some kind
of... Only good thing to come out of this mess. This business are doing in town. Porters are drinking the place dry. You look like you're ready to kill over, Will. Why don't you go home? It's my problem, Bill.
Your problem. Listen, Dave. Don't give me any of your horse shit about jurisdiction in this one, you understand?
Would you like me to step outside?
Just finish up what you're doing.
Somewhere in this rugged mountain countryside, possibly above the snow line, shrouded in mist, the fugitive John Rambo is hiding. Units of the state police, along with local members of the National Guard, are now being mobilized. What still remains unexplained by local authorities is just how and where the former Green Beret came into possession of the weapons with which he allegedly killed one deputy sheriff and tried to kill six others. Only their skilled training and police enforcement techniques saved their lives. And word now is that the fugitive will be in custody in a matter of hours.
Maps, Will. Will, there's something I think you ought to know. Talk to you later, okay?
What is it, Lester? What is it? For Christ's sake, spit it out.
Oh, well, I was just talking to Mitch, and he was saying that Galt and a couple of deputies were a little hard on the guy.
Assholes. Doesn't make one goddamn bit of difference, Dave, and you know it. If one of my deputies gets out of line with a prisoner, then the prisoner comes to me with it. And if I find out it's like he says, I kick the deputy's ass. Me, the law, that's the way it's gotta be. Hell breaks loose. Whatever possessed God in heaven to make a man like Rambo?
God didn't make Rambo. I made him.
Who the hell are you?
Sam Trotman. Colonel Samuel Trotman.
Look, we're a little busy this morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
I've come to get my boy.
Your boy?
I recruited him. I trained him. I commanded him in Vietnam for 3 years. I'd say that makes him mine.
I wonder why the Pentagon would send a full-bird colonel down here to handle this.
The Army thought I might be able to help.
Well, I don't know in what way. Rambo's a civilian now. He's my problem.
I don't think you understand. I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him.
Well, we all appreciate your concern, Colonel. And we'll try to be extra careful.
I'm just amazed that he allowed any of your posse to live.
Is that right?
Strictly speaking, he slipped up. You're lucky to be breathing.
That's just great. Colonel, you came out here to find out why one of your machines blew a gasket.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who's been trained to ignore pain. Ignore weather. To live off the land. eat things that'd make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel. To kill. Period. Win by attrition. Well, Rambo was the best.
All right, this is a longer scene than I remember, but skip ahead when they come back and he tells him, just let him go, defuse the situation. And that's my point to Israel. And that's what 6 months ago, Michael Savage, who knows the former heads of Mossad, all of it, talked to him. They said, God, we're screwed. This is totally insane. The whole world's going to turn against us. It's going to end in Armageddon. And Netanyahu and his crazies are like, yay, wee, woo, woo, woo. And I don't do this to kiss Israel's ass. Everybody wants to turn against Israel. I can put on a Hitler uniform and be more popular. I don't support that. My point is that this is insane. Go ahead, back to the clip. Here it is.
You want a war you can't win?
Are you telling me that 200 men against your boy is a no-win situation for us?
You send that many. Don't forget one thing.
What?
A good supply of body bags.
Troutman! I don't know which side you're on, Troutman. I still think you came out here just to cover your ass.
It doesn't matter. The show's almost over. In post, it's the piece right before that where he says, let him slip away. Back it up 2 minutes. We got to find the piece. We just got to do it. It's not your fault. I'm the one moving around live on this. Back up a little bit before that where he says, let him slip away and pick him up at a car wash or something, I think is what he says. But that's exactly what we're talking about. This is set up for a no-win situation for Israel, okay? And then it messes everything else we're doing up. So when I try to get Israel to not do this, it's because I care about everybody. Go back to the clip.
Now you got us all scared to death. What do you and the special forces think I ought to do about your psycho out there?
Let him go.
Do what?
For now. Defuse the whole situation. Defuse him. Provide a little gap and let him slip through it. Then put out a nationwide APB. In a couple of weeks, you'll pick him up in Seattle or someplace working in a car wash. There'll be no fight and nobody else will get hurt.
I do my own work. I don't figure the best way to do that is to close my eyes and then hope he gets picked up in Seattle.
Well, if you send your people in there after him, they'll get killed.
You know, we're just a small hick town sheriff's department, Colonel, but we're expected to do our duty just like our heroes in the special forces.
In special forces, we teach our people to stay alive in the line of duty.
No shit. I never thought of that.
You want a war you can't win?
Are you telling me that 200 men against your boy...
All right, let's stop there. So I got the point out. That is exactly where Israel and Trump is. And all of you idiots thinking you just say we're going to win and you say they're going to fall, roll the dice, roll the dice, roll the dice, roll the dice, roll the dice. You are idiots. You don't roll the dice with stuff like thermonuclear war and global collapse so the damn Rothschilds and BlackRock get what they want. And they're the most insane people out there. They're worse than Netanyahu. I wanted to play this Tucker Carlson clip in closing because this shows how Tucker didn't turn against Trump so the left loves him. He did it because it was the right thing to do, and he has all these intense conversations with Trump, and Trump thought he was invincible a few months ago and said, I can't be stopped. Notice when Tucker talked about the New York Times, Trump didn't deny it. That's megalomania. So here's Saturday Night Live Saturday being nice to Tucker, implying he's a racist, insulting this, you know, this character with that. So I don't do what I do to get the curry and the support of the left. I do it because it's the right thing to do. They're the enemy, they're the establishment, and Trump has walked right into their hands. Here's the clip from Saturday Night Live.
The Met Gala took place in New York this week. Here to give his thoughts on fashion's biggest night is conservative political commentator Tucker Carlson.
Thank you, Colin. The Met Gala, a night of fashion and fun. Huh? Really? Yes. Come on, everybody. Let's all prance around in our $100,000 clown outfits and watch the American Empire crumble. What are we doing? What's going on?
So you didn't like this year's Met Gala?
Oh, no. I loved it because when I go to a museum, I don't want to talk about history. No. I want to look at The Rock in a skirt. Do you smell what The Rock is cooking? Because I do. It's gender confusion. That's the rule. That's the goal.
Which is all
now.
True. They make a joke out of it.
I don't think that's the goal. I think it's just like meant to be fun.
Okay, well, what about Madonna? She named herself after the Virgin Mary. And you want to know my favorite thing about the mother of Jesus Christ? Oh, I know. The big pirate ship on her head. And I have to be attracted to this?
You don't have to be attracted to any of them. I mean, weren't there any outfits you liked? I mean, Heidi Klum's was fun, right?
Oh, yes. The left has finally gotten what they've always wanted. They put the Statue of Liberty in a burqa.
All right. Dad, You know that's not what she was doing.
What's next? Does the Chrysler building become the anti-Chrysler building? What are we doing? What's going on? Is this the New York we want to live in, Colin?
Don't you live in, like, Maine?
Yes, and let's talk about Maine. M-A-I-N-E? Huh, really? The E is silent. But who silenced it, and why?
What the hell are you talking about? You're talking about the silent E in Maine now.
I'm glad you brought it up, Colin.
I did.
And what does that E stand for? Oh, I know. Euphoria.
No.
Oh, yes. No. Euphoria. No. And no, I'm not talking about the feeling I get when I press 1 for English.
Come on, man.
Oh, and look who's next coming down the runway. It's Jafar Jackson, who had the gall to show up after starring in the Michael Jackson movie.
Oh, yeah, some people were very upset about that movie, yeah.
And they should be. The movie ends in 1988, so obviously they avoided something serious that needs to be acknowledged. The part of Michael Jackson's life no one wants to talk about anymore. Of course, I'm talking about the part when he was a white man.
Okay.
Sorry, kids. Michael Jackson doesn't get to live a beautiful white life anymore. Huh. Who does that remind me of? Oh, that's right. All of us. That's the rule. That's the goal now. Shimona? Yeah. More like shame on ya.
Oh, Jesus, dude. That's just awful.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
What?
Round Bananas. You want to eat bananas without looking gay? Try Round Bananas.
Yeah, all of us with podcasts, much bigger than Saturday Night Live. We're back as we have sponsors, though they have their drug companies and all the rest of their scams. It's pure bull. Speaking of that, I'm funded by you, thealexshieldstore.com. Huge sale on the Shilajit gummies and on the bovine colostrum right now. Buy one, get one free. It ends tomorrow night at midnight. I can't do this without you. I'm not shamed by Saturday Night Live or anybody that we sell stuff. That's how the world works. I sell you stuff that really works. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. But whatever you do, share the live feeds on Rumble. Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShow live, because Harrison Smith is taking over right now and on X at Real Alex Jones. And follow us at AJN Live on X as well. Great job, crew. God bless you all. A lot more coming. So watch our website, AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of victory.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship, and I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is AlexJonesLive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is AlexJonesLive.com. And go to AlexJonesApp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny, or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.